2 Thessalonians chapter number 2 and verse number 5. We're going to look at something this evening, and I want to cover something first before I get into what I really think it is, what others may think about one of these verse, some of these verses here this evening. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, look at verse number 5. It says, "Remember ye not that when I was with you, or yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." Okay? They didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I pray you lead, help, guide, and direct, dear God. Give us what we need out of your word, Lord. Help us to have ears to hear, hearts to receive, dear God, what's contained in this book of truth. And Lord, help us to walk in the light of it, dear God. Help us not to be deceived. Lord, help us for our eyes to be open, dear God, and see clearly what we need to see. And so, Lord, I ask for your help tonight, dear God. I pray your Holy Spirit would teach us, lead us, and guide us, and direct us in all that's said and done. And we'll praise you for it. We'll give you all the glory and honor. We pray it in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to pick up here this evening in verse number 5 to where it says, "Remember ye not that when I was with you, when I was yet with you, I told you these things." Now, go back over real quick to verse number 3 of chapter 2. It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Then we go into verse 5, and Paul says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things." Now, what would be nice, and what would be really nice here, is if Paul would tell us what those things are. Because he goes into verse number 5, 6, and 7, talking about, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way." Now, wouldn't it be nice if Paul, led by the Holy Spirit of God, would have just told us who that he is, instead of us trying to figure it out? But the Bible says this, the Bible says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What God desires, brethren, what God desires in all of our lives, specifically those that are saved, is God desires for you to study his word. He desires for you to study his word and then to partake in what God has established, and that's the local church and a pastor. Okay? Now, we're not going to grow overnight. There is no way that you're going to be saved for 2 years, 2 weeks, 3 months, and you're going to know this book inside out. That's impossible. This book is something to be studied to the day you die, and I believe that the day you pass on, you still will not know 99.99% of this book. I just believe that. This book, to me, is God's word, and we might think we got some things down, and there's some things that we hopefully should have down that are solid in the scriptures, but then there's other things in the scriptures I don't think we'll understand till we get home to heaven. So I say that this evening is, study the word of God, get in it, and number one, make sure you're saved, and number two, if you're saved, walk with God, pray, and read, and take what God gives you. Ray Childress used to say this, a preacher that went up into the mountains there in the Appalachian Mountains. He said, "Listen, if you don't understand something, keep going. Keep going. If you don't understand it, say, Lord, I pray you'd give me some insight on this. God, I pray you'd open my eyes on this. But Lord, right now, I just don't understand this thing," and keep moving on. Okay? Now, I'll tell you one thing that the devil will do. If the devil can't keep you from reading your Bible, he's going to try to dictate how you read your Bible. And what I mean by that is sometimes you'll sit down and you'll start reading your Bible, and the devil will put the thought in your head saying, hey, what about that verse you can't understand over there in that book in the back? Why don't you go over there and try to figure that thing out? Well, now he's dictating how you're studying your Bible. Well, no, today I'm reading this. This is my where I'm supposed to be. I'm not going to. No, you're a coward. You just don't really want to know what that verse says. No, he's trying to dictate how you read your Bible and how you study your Bible, and don't give in to it. Brethren, I've had it happen in my Bible study time, I don't know how many times, countless times, to where thoughts will come in my head as I'm reading my Bible. You need to go over here and try to figure these passages of Scripture out. Well, no, I'm here right now. And that can take place later on, but right now, this is where my devotional part's at, and this is where I'm going to spend my time. Because, brethren, there might just be something in that Bible reading this morning that you need. And God doesn't want you to figure out what Hebrews chapter 6 is right now, or Hebrews chapter 10. God might not want you to try to go down that road yet, because he doesn't want you to understand those things yet, but to get things that you need where you're at in your life. And that is the most important part. Is for you to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit give you what you need where you're at in a particular place in your life. Let God grow you and don't worry about it. And just go forward with God. So Paul says, remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things? Take your Bible. Well, no, we're going to go on to verse 6. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So verse 6 says this. Paul says, remember, I told you these things. And he says, and ye now know. Ye know what withholdeth. Now that word withhold means to keep back, to restrain, to not be revealed yet. What we see here, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Who is that he right there in verse number 6? That's the Antichrist. Go back to verse 3 and 4. Listen to Antichrist, verse number 3 says, at the latter part of verse number 3, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He's not yet revealed. We do not know yet who the Antichrist is, but we do know what 2 Thessalonians 2:6 says, and ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, I'm going to give you first what some think that who that he is that is holding back. Look at verse 7 as well. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, before I get into that, let's see here. Where do I want to go with this? First, I want to look at, well, take your Bible and look at Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse number 1. Daniel 10, verse number 1. Now, some believe that he, and the one who is now letting will let until he be taken out of the way. You see, verses 6 and 7 in 2 Thessalonians puts forth this individual. It's a he. And to say, whoever this he is, he's withholding back who? The revelation or the revealing of who the Antichrist is. And he's letting things go like they are right now, and he's restraining things as they are right now. But then when he's taken out of the way, that son of perdition, that Antichrist, that wicked one will be revealed. Now, some think that it is Michael the archangel. And I'll show you why some think that it is. Because look at Daniel chapter 10, verse number 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning. Look what the Bible says. I was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked. And behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were there with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Now what had happened is he's receiving this vision. Listen, those that were around him didn't see the vision, but they heard something, and they quaked and they ran away. And this angel here touches Daniel's shoulder. He lifts him up, and as he lifts him up, Daniel stands there trembling. Verse 12, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But look at verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Brethren, this is some insight of what goes on out there. Brethren, Daniel gets down on his face, he chastens himself, and he prays to God. And it takes 3 weeks for him to get his answer from prayer, because that angel that's trying to bring him his answer to prayer, that vision, there are battles going on in the heavenlies, and Michael the archangel has to come over, the chief of princes, to help him to get this message to Daniel. 3 weeks. There's battles going on up there to try to get this message to Daniel, who's greatly beloved. And Michael is one of the chief princes going there to help this angel to get this message to Daniel. Look at chapter 12 and look at verse number 1. Chapter 12 and look at verse number 1. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. It appears from Scripture, and I believe it's shown in Scripture, that Michael has some type of special alliance with the nation of Israel, God's people. Brethren, I don't know how all that works out there in the heavenlies. I have no clue how it all works. But I do know that there's entities out there, both of Satan and both of God. And there's battles and things that take place out there. And then sometimes it affects down here. Michael has some type of an affinity to the nation of Israel and to those Jews. And we see there, and I'm not going into it this morning or this evening, but what I read back there in chapter 10, verse number 13, the kings of Persia, I don't think he's talking about the real kings. I think there's things going on out there, that the entities that have powers and dominions, principalities. Ephesians chapter number 6, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Brethren, you're crossing over then into the spiritual realm. And brethren, that's why it's such a battle for this thing right here and this thing right here. The devil will try to plant things in your mind. He'll try to plant things in your heart. And he'll try to get you to doubt God because there's a battle going on. And brethren, that is one of the reasons why I was so emphatic this morning is, brethren, we are in a spiritual fight, a real war. When you're saved, you enter into a real war, a spiritual war, and the devil does not want you being involved in it. He wants you just sitting off on the side, twiddling your thumbs, and just going about your daily life. But the souls of men are at stake. Not only are the souls of men at stake, but your walk with your Father. Not that you can lose your salvation, but the devil doesn't want you realizing the strength and the power you have in what God's promised you in His Word. The victory that you can now have walking in the power of God's Word. So, now with that in mind, that Daniel seems to have this special relation to the nation of Israel, take your Bible and look over at Jude and verse number 9. Jude verse number 9. Here's another one of those crazy verses here. Jude verse number 9. Look what the Bible says here. Jude verse number 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring railing against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." There is an argument, there is a wrestling match, there's a battle, a dispute over the body of Moses. Again, don't ask me to explain it. I have no idea. All I know is what the Bible says. And that when Moses died, for whatever reason, the devil wanted the body of Moses. And Michael, the archangel, says, "Nope, you're not getting them. The Lord rebuke thee." I believe it has something to do with Moses coming back with Elijah during the tribulation. Okay? But anyways, we see here again that Michael, the archangel, has some type of affinity towards the nation of Israel, the Jews, and particularly here, Moses' body. Now, I'll tell you why they believe it's Michael. Look at Revelation chapter 12. They believe Michael right now is the protector of Israel. And they say that he takes basically his protection off of Israel at the 3.5 year mark during the tribulation. And look at Revelation chapter 12, verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, which is the devil, Satan. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Look over at verse number 12. "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down on you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." Now, I believe when the devil comes down there, you go into Revelation chapter 13, and I believe that's where the devil possesses the body of the Antichrist. Whether the Antichrist really dies or not, that's neither here nor there. But we know that Satan enters into the Antichrist, gives him the power, the dragon gives him the power, but it comes after he's cast out of heaven. So go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So they believe that in the halfway point of the tribulation, basically Michael takes his hands off And he, from verse number 7, where it says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Now, I personally don't believe it's Michael, the archangel. I personally believe, it seems to me that that individual who's now holding back, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, I believe it's the Holy Spirit of God. And I'll show you why I believe it's him. Take your Bible and look at Acts chapter 5 and verse number 32. Acts 5, 32. I've even read some and seen some people, they believe it's the Antichrist that's holding back right now. I don't think it's the Antichrist holding back right now. And I believe it's the Holy Spirit of God. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 32. Now in 2 Thessalonians talks about he, in both verses, he might be revealed in his time, or you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed inside that what or what's withholding. And in verse number 7 says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Look at Acts chapter 5 and verse number 32. And ye are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Or I'm sorry, chapter 5, verse 32, yep. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Take your Bible, look over at John chapter 16, verse 13. John chapter 16, and look at verse number 13. Look how it refers to the Holy Spirit. John 16, 13. It says here in John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Here the Holy Spirit is referred to as in he. In John chapter 1, verse 32, he's referred to as it. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, it's the Spirit of Christ. But here particularly in John 16, 13, the Holy Spirit is referred to as in he. Now, I already looked at and told the definition of withholding. It means to restrain or keep back. Now, some will put forth the case and say, well, they don't believe it's the Holy Spirit because they believe the Holy Spirit will still work during the tribulation. So how could the Holy Spirit be taken out of the way and then let things go and the man of sin be revealed if he still has a working during the tribulation? Now, I'll say this. If you go through the book of Revelation, to me personally, I don't really think there's a lot of work that the Holy Spirit's doing during the tribulation. And that's just looking at the book of Revelation and looking at it as the Spirit of God moving and working during the tribulation. Actually, I think it's only two or three times that the Spirit of God is referenced to doing something in the tribulation. And I'll show you why I don't think that the Holy Spirit is doing a lot. I'm not saying he isn't going to do anything. I'm just saying I don't think he's going to be doing the same things that he's doing now. Now look, we know that the Holy Spirit worked in the Old Testament, but it's the same. It's not the same thing that he's doing today. Brethren, people in the Old Testament were not born again. They were not sealed unto the day of redemption. They were not part of the body of Christ. They didn't have what we have today by the working of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, he was at work prior to the cross, but again, now he's working differently than he did prior to the cross. Take your Bible, look at John 16, stay there if you're still there, and look at verse number 7. Look what the Bible says here. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now look what his job is, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And when he is come, he will prove who? The world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So when the Spirit of Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he went up into the clouds there as the disciples saw him go up there, the Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand of the Father, and then he sent the Comforter and the Holy Spirit to us. And when the Holy Spirit was sent by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, the Lord says, And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now, I believe when the Holy Spirit is taken out, when the church goes out, I believe the working of the Holy Spirit, how he now works, is taken out. So during this time that we're living in now, the Holy Spirit is bear witnessing to truth. And he's reproving the world of their sin. He's reproving the world of righteousness. And he's reproving the world of judgment. Now, I wanted to show you something. Look at Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah 25. And look at verse number 6. Now, what happens after this individual who is now letting, he's taken away? When this individual who now letteth is taken away, and that wicked one is revealed, there's going to be some great, even greater deception happening upon this planet. Now look at Isaiah chapter 25 and look at verse number 7. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is in context of the Lord coming back. But look what happens here in Isaiah 25 verse 7. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people. Now, look at this next part. Who? The Lord. When the Lord comes back, and he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. Brethren, I believe when the Holy Spirit is taken out, something changes, and there's a blindness, and there's a covering, and there's a veil that comes over the eyes of the majority of mankind. Why? Because they loved not the truth that they might be saved. Listen, it's almost like the Lord saying, you want to keep believing a lie? Okay, I'm going to let you believe a lie. Holy Spirit's gone who bears witness to truth, and now I'm going to give you a lie, and your eyes are going to be blinded, they're going to be covered, and a veil's going to be over them. Listen, to where you're not going to see what's going on right in front of you. A spiritual deception. And the Lord says when he comes back, the Bible says when he comes back, that covering cast over all people and the veil that is spread over all nations, it's going to be taken away. And they're going to see the Savior for who he really is. And the world's going to see Jesus Christ for who he really is when they see him coming down out of those clouds and stepping foot there on the Mount of Olivet. Take your Bible and look at Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60. I guess what I'm saying is, I believe when the Holy Spirit goes out, there's a spiritual blindness that then occurs on this planet. A spiritual delusion, lies, and deceivableness. Now look at Isaiah chapter 60. In light of what we read in chapter 25. In light of what we read in chapter 25. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says this. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness, look at this, the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Brethren, it appears here in Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 3, that there is a gross darkness that comes upon this planet. And I'm not talking about a physical darkness. I'm not talking about a physical darkness as if we shut off all the lights in this church building and we have a little bit more trouble of seeing because we're now in a physical darkness. I believe it's a spiritual darkness. And to me, that's scary. It's scary when you can see physically, but you cannot see anything when it comes to spiritual things. Brethren, we don't mess around with God. You don't mess around with the Lord. Listen, when Sodom and Gomorrah is a perfect example of that, when those angels pulled Lot, they smote those men with a blindness, but I don't think it was a physical blindness. I think they could see as sure as they could see before, but they could not find that door as much as they wanted to find that door. And guess what? There's going to come a spiritual blindness over this world. Why? Because they love not the truth that they might be saved. And they're not going to be able to find a door if the door was right in front of their face. Because they chose delusion and a lie over the Holy Spirit and truth and light. And God says, you want to believe a lie? I'll let you believe a lie. But right now, thank the Lord that the Holy Spirit is now still dealing with this world about sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. To try to open their eyes from darkness to the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, take your Bible and look back over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 7. Now look what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7 says. It says here that for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. This mystery of iniquity is already working. Mystery means a profound secret, something wholly unknown, or something kept cautiously concealed, and therefore exciting curiosity or wonder. This mystery of iniquity is already working. This mystery of wickedness and unrighteousness is already at work in this world. Now, not only do we have the mystery of iniquity, we also have another mystery that we can contrast this mystery of iniquity with. Take your Bible and flip over to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. To contrast the two, the mystery of iniquity relates to the Antichrist and him being revealed. Well, look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. You know what the spirit of Antichrist is? It's just the opposite of 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that God was manifested in the flesh. It's just the opposite of the mystery of godliness is this mystery of iniquity and this man of the son of perdition being revealed. This mystery of godliness is that God was manifested in the flesh. Now take your Bible and look over at 1 John chapter 4. This mystery of iniquity doth already work. And John talks about it here in 1 John chapter 4. And look at verse number 1. This mystery of iniquity is already at work. And you know what they're trying to put forth is that people do not want to see or believe that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Now I'll say this, and I believe everybody, most everybody in this room knows this. But if Jesus Christ is not God manifested in the flesh, we're still in our sins. You see, if Jesus Christ is not God, then he can't die for us, or if he did die for us, it didn't do anything for us. Because then he would be a sinner just like we're a sinner. And his blood would be tainted just like our blood is tainted. You see, brethren, I can't die for you and you can't die for me when it comes to my sins. I need a perfect sacrifice to die for my sins to take them away. And that was Jesus Christ. He was fully God and he was fully the Son of Man. Son of Man, Son of God, and you can't separate either one of them. You can't go as far as say, well, God cannot be manifest in the flesh and all flesh is bad, which then would make Jesus Christ bad. No, Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh. He was fully the Son of Man and fully the Son of God. And it's a mystery, the mystery of godliness, God manifested flesh. Well, preacher, how can you explain that? You're telling me that God became a man? Yes, that's what the Bible says. Well, can you explain that for me? Not really. I just believe what it says. God was manifest in the flesh. That shows God's great love towards us and what he did. Now look at 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby, look, brethren, hear what it says in verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. The spirit, now not the end, the spirit of Antichrist is already at work in this world. And I'll give you two religions that are pushing it, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. Major players, especially the Mormon church. It is a major player in the hour we're living in right now. And guess what? They deny Jesus Christ, God, coming in the flesh. They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. They believe he was just a good man that lived a good life and we can learn from him. No, he was God manifest in the flesh. Listen, the Mormon church is a spirit of Antichrist. That's why you shouldn't be listening to Glenn Beck. Well, he gives me good insight. He's got the spirit of Antichrist. He's a Mormon. He doesn't believe Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That's the spirit of Antichrist. I don't want to listen to anything he's got to say. But how many Christians today are caught up with that man right there? Brethren, 1 John says, try the spirits. I don't want to hear nothing you got to say if you don't believe Jesus Christ is coming to flesh. Because that is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, look what Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 43. John chapter 5, and look what he says in verse 43. John 5, 43. John 5, 43. Just stick with me this evening because I want to get to the end of this thing to show you something. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 43. Look what the Lord says here. John 5, 43. He says, I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him will you receive. I believe that's a reference to the Antichrist. The Jews will receive him at first. But at that midway point in the tribulation, when he sets himself up there in that temple, some of those Jews are going to be like, no, you are not who you said you were. And they're going to flee to the mountains. Now, brethren, we got three main religions in this world today. You got Roman Catholicism, you got Buddhists, you got Islam, and you got Hindus. And I'm gonna tell you something about Buddhists. They're looking for their Maitreya to come. Their Maitreya is their savior. Now listen to this. According to Buddhist tradition, Maitreya is a bodhisattva who is prophesied to appear on earth, achieve complete enlightenment, and teach the Dharma. So the Buddhists right now are waiting for their Messiah, the Maitreya, to come back and to bring in spiritual enlightenment. Now look, and I'm not going to get into this evening, but I've seen a lot of my Christian brothers and sisters in the Lord start going down a track that's not good. And you got to be very careful with, and I don't want to get into this evening, where you start crossing over to, and I'll just go to with health things. When you start going down a spiritual path to help the body physically, you're going to get yourself in danger. And a lot of that danger starts, and again, I'm not going to go into it this evening, but a lot of it starts with those essential oils. You need to be very careful. Very, very careful. Now, there's nothing wrong with something smelling good and it helps you, but when you start trying to put and burn essential oils to try to change your mood, you're crossing into a dangerous place. You're crossing over into a very dangerous place. And you're crossing over into a spiritual realm, and I believe you're leaving yourself open to demonic influences. Again, I'm not getting into it this evening. But that young living stuff and essential oils, read up on it a little bit. You start crossing over into mysticism and New Age ecumenical type stuff to where you start getting into areas that a Christian ought not to get involved in. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the essential oils because I had some like peppermint to help take care of acid reflux. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're starting to do things with the essential oils to try to change the mood and the spirit of things, now, brethren, you're starting to cross into a different realm, and that's not a good realm to get into. Yoga is another one. Meditation. Letting go. Just meditate in your mind. And as you meditate in your mind, you just let go. You never let go. You always keep your mind in control of your mind. You never just release it. But in yoga, you put in certain positions to try to tune in. And you go into the chakra and all these other things, New Age mysticism. Well, I say that because Buddhists are looking for somebody to come back. And not only are the Buddhists looking for somebody to come back, Islam is looking for somebody to come back. And he's called the Mahdi, if I'm saying it right. The Mahdi is a messianic figure in Islam eschatology who is believed to appear at the end of times to rid the world of evil and injustice. He is said to be a descendant of Muhammad who will appear shortly before the prophet Isaias and lead Muslims to rule the world. Who is that? That's the Antichrist. Who is the Buddhists looking for? Maitreya, that's the Antichrist. And Hindus are looking for their avatar. And it ain't very interesting that that's a major movie again this year called Avatar. That's Hindu. That's Hinduism. And how many people are going out there to rush to watch it? You're watching Hindu stuff. Look, Avatar. In Hindu religion, the savior of the end time is called Avatar, which means manifestation. Avatar comes from the word avatari, which means the manifestation of a superior power. And I added another group in here, and that's the irreligious. You know who the irreligious and who they're waiting for to come to give us more spiritual enlightenment and to take us to the next level? Aliens. You think I'm crazy? I'm not crazy. People today would rip out my eyes and throw me into prison as quick as they could. But if an alien were to come down out of that sky, they'd love them. I'm telling you, they'd love them. And they'd worship it. And they would think that we can now take the next step for humanity. Brethren, people are looking for it. And people are ready for it. And they're primed for it. For this individual to come on the scene that will take them to the next level. And I believe the Antichrist will promise people that. And he'll work by craft and sorceries. Now, I want to show you, look back over at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 lines up perfectly with John chapter 3, in particular from John chapter 3, verses 16, 15, 16, all the way through to verse number like 22, 23. Where Jesus Christ is coming to this world, but men reject Jesus Christ. And they love darkness rather than light, lest their deeds should be reproved. The Holy Spirit, when he came in, when the Lord gave the Holy Spirit the Comforter, what was birth? The church. The church and the bride of Christ came into existence when the Holy Spirit brought the new birth to those disciples there in the upper room. And the church and the bride of Christ is continuing on into this day of those that come to truth, their eyes are enlightened, and they're born again of the Spirit. But look what happens in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 11. Because they reject the truth that they might be saved, for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they shall believe a lie. The Holy Spirit has come to bring truth, but a lie is going to occur after I believe he is gone. Now, the Holy Spirit comes, the church is birthed, the Holy Spirit leaves when the church is raptured. And there's other things I want to look at. We're going to look at it next week, Lord willing. But I want to close to you. This is what tipped the scale to me in believing that it's the Holy Spirit who is now withholding. And I want to close with this scripture this evening. Look over at Genesis chapter number 24. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter number 24. Now, in Genesis chapter 24, we have the story of Abraham trying to seek a wife for Isaac, his son. Now, I'm not going to read all of Genesis chapter 24 this evening, but I believe here, I'm just going to give you some things here real quick. I believe that in Genesis chapter 24, you have a picture of the church age. And what I mean by that is the Abraham is a perfect picture of the Father, the Holy God, the Father. Isaac is a perfect picture and symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eliezer, Abraham's servant, whom he sends to another country to get a bride for his son, I believe represents the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe the bride, Rebecca, represents the bride of Jesus Christ. Now with that in mind, look at Genesis chapter 24 and look at verse number 57. Now Eliezer, he's talking to Laban and her family about Rebecca going with him. And look, this is a perfect picture of salvation as well. The Holy Spirit is not going to force anybody to go or come to the Lord Jesus Christ against their will. Neither is Eleazar going to force Rebecca to go with him. Look what the Bible says. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Genesis 24, verse number 58 now. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those that hate them. And look what the Bible says. And Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed who? The man. Who's that? Eliezer. And the servant took Rebecca and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Laharoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebecca lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. Perfect picture of the rapture of church. Isaac goes out to meditate in the eventime. The Lord Jesus Christ comes in the cloud. Rebecca comes by the leading of the Holy Spirit, and they meet each other in the field there. And then Isaac takes Rebecca back to his tent when the Lord Jesus Christ takes us back to heaven. But look who goes out with Rebecca at the same time that she meets Isaac, Eleazar, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. Brethren, I believe what's written there in 2 Thessalonians is the Holy Spirit. And when the bride goes out, he goes out. Not saying he can't still work, but not the same way that he's working now. It's going to be a whole other type of working of what he's doing right now. And I believe right here in Genesis chapter 24, you get a perfect picture of it. Perfect picture of it. Of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the bride of Jesus Christ. And when the bride goes out, Rebecca goes out, follows him, he leaves with her. And meets Isaac in the field there. And then Isaac takes him back to her tent. Or takes her back to his tent. Perfect picture. Perfect picture. We'll get into some more of it next week. But I just wanted to throw that in this evening as we're getting kind of late here on time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness. Lord, I pray you'd help us with these things, dear God. Lord, it sure does seem like it's the Holy Spirit that's holding back the spirit of Antichrist that he might be revealed. Because he's in this world right now to reprove this world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come, that men might be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. So Lord, help us as we look at these scriptures, dear God. Please give us understanding, give us wisdom, give us insight as you see fit, Lord. And Lord, help us just to trust you. Lord, help us through this week just to stay faithful to you, Lord. Help us to go about doing your business and doing your will, Lord, till you call us home to heaven someday. So Lord, help us now, we pray, in the Lord Jesus' name, amen.